VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America, and it's another topic, folks, you need to be informed of and know what's going on across our nation. LGBT activists do not like what the Bible has to say about their lifestyle, so they want to ban it. They want to ban efforts being made to declare what God's Word has to say about their lifestyle. And city after city, and yes, even whole states, are passing unconstitutional and ungodly laws banning people from receiving Christian counseling to fight unwanted same-sex attractions and dysphoric identities. In such locations, even if patients want Christian counseling, they are banned from receiving it. There's an organization that is fighting this and recently argued the matter before the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. Joining us today, we welcome attorney Matt Stever with Liberty Counsel. He's founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, constitutional attorney, has hundreds of legal opinions that have been published, scholarly law reviews that he has made. He's argued before all levels of court, including the United States Supreme Court. Matt, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be with you, as always.
Just before we talk about this case, Otto versus Boca Raton, I'd like you to first comment on a press release that Liberty Counsel put out just 48 hours earlier concerning United Parcel Service, UPS, and their religious freedom discrimination against employees over the matter of prayer. What's happening?
Yes, and I've got some good news that it looks like as of today, perhaps even no later than Monday, we should be able to get this resolved. But what happened is, in June of 2019, about 40 employees on their own decided to gather together after they parked their cars in the parking lot before they punched the clock for the beginning of the day as they're driving the UPS trucks. They decided to gather together and pray, and it started off with about 40 people in June of 2019. It has now grown to 50 to 60 people, and so they come early, and they gather in the parking lot, not inside the building, in the parking lot. And it's before they actually punch in on the clock, and they just gather by themselves, and they voluntarily pray. So everything was going well until January of this year, and then the manager actually called one of the individuals in and said, I need to speak with you privately. So he came in to the office, and he said, you cannot have prayer anymore. And he said, why? He said, you cannot have any prayer, and in fact, that would actually infringe on the rights of others. And he said, we haven't had any issue. He said, it's all voluntary. Nobody has to show up. It's just whoever wants to come up. And he said, you're not listening to me. No more prayer. The following day, he brought in another one of the individuals who was part of the prayer, and he said, did the other guy yesterday, by name, did he speak to you? He said, no, what about? He goes, the fact that you can't have prayer in the parking lot. And that was the instruction. Then what happened was they gathered to let the people know on a subsequent day, said that we were told we can't have prayer. But if any of you want to bow your heads, these are the people that were gathering together, not the manager, and just silently pray, that's up to you. So a few of them did that. They bowed their heads and they silently prayed. That same manager was watching to see what they were going to do and saw that. And right after that, these individuals, some of them started to get terminated one after another.
Oh my.
And one of them is a client that ultimately contacted us. So we sent a demand letter because this is clearly impermissible under federal law, the federal law that governs UPS. UPS is a private employer, but it cannot discriminate on the basis of religion. And when you have some a religious accommodation that someone requests, or it's pretty obvious, and it's pretty obvious, this is on their own time in the parking lot. You can't control what they do on their own time. You can't tell them what they can say or, you know, whether they can invite someone out for dinner when they're out in the parking lot on their own time.
Mm-hmm.
You can't restrict their right to be able to pray, and that's what they were doing. So we sent a demand letter. We gave them until yesterday afternoon, close of business, to respond. And fortunately, they have responded so far, and it looks like, and this is what we've been told, we don't have anything in writing yet, it looks like this is the situation. It went all the way up to high management. And by the way, they were very concerned that the media even found out about this.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the highest level of management, and the management overruled that lower manager and said, no, they can gather to pray, and our client who was terminated will be able to return to work on Monday. Now, that's what we've been told in the last few hours, and we're going to continue to monitor that to make sure that that's actually true. So far it looks like a good resolution, but had they not spoken up and contacted us, they would have just had their religious freedom crushed.
Well, Matt, please stay. I know you're going to stay abreast of this case, but let us know that if this turns sour, other than what you've demonstrated here, please let us know, because you've got an open door. We will certainly share the story with our listeners.
Thank you. We certainly will do that, and continue to pray that it gets resolved, and hopefully we're on the final resolution to get everything taken care of, protect their religious freedom, and get the people back to work so that they don't have to worry about being terminated for gathering literally on their own time before the clock starts to pray with fellow employees.
Matt, also earlier today on another issue, you made us aware of a federal court of appeals ruling that just came out pertaining to the Pensacola Cross. What's happening? What's the decision?
Yeah, this is a cross in Pensacola. It's been there for about, I think, 75 years or so, quite a long time in Pensacola. It was a landmark. And in fact, if you go back historically, Pensacola was ultimately founded before St. Augustine. We always think of St. Augustine as the oldest city in the country. It was actually Pensacola. It started there first, and that cross was commemorating a long history that goes all the way back to the founding in the 1500s of Pensacola, when they actually erected a cross. And so that cross has been there now for 75 years. It's a historic landmark from all the people that ever grew up there. They knew about it or visited it. And then Freedom From Religion Foundation filed suit, and what happened is the lower court struck it down, said it's unconstitutional. Well, last year, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a decision in the American Legion case with the American Humanists wanting to remove the cross in Maryland. Remember the Blandensburg cross?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the Supreme Court decided that that cross can be upheld, and they jettisoned some of the old archaic rules that they apply to these long-standing monuments, the so-called Lemon Test. And consequently, they sent the case back down to the lower court here, because this one was also pending at the Supreme Court. They said, we're going to set aside that ruling. You need to reconsider it in light of our American Legion case. The court did. And just yesterday afternoon, the court issued a great decision. The cross will stay, and it does not violate the Constitution. Of course, we knew that. Certainly all you have to do is read the original understanding of the Constitution. You know that. But it's nice to finally see some changes taking place for common sense and constitutional approaches. Otherwise, what was going to happen, Jim, this 75-year-old cross that literally has roots, if you will, going back to the 1500s, would have been bulldozed because a court of appeals, the same court of appeals that reversed itself, actually struck it down under prior precedent. And then they said they had to reverse themselves in light of the U.S. Supreme Court case, and they now have upheld it. This shows how much elections matter and how much it matters who is in the White House nominating judges to put on the various courts of appeal, including the United States Supreme Court.
Well, that also is going to have some implications in our next issue that we talk about. And, Matt, last week you presented an oral argument before a three-judge panel of the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals in regard to some ordinances passed in the city of Boca Raton in Palm Beach County, Florida. It's a case known as Otto versus Boca Raton. Tell us about the case.
Yeah, this is a case where the Palm Beach County and then the city of Boca Raton, Florida, both in South Florida, they passed these ordinances that ban any kind of change counsel. Any counsel that has the goal of changing a person's what they call sexual orientation, gender identity, behavior, romantic attractions towards someone of the same sex, you can talk about changing it with regards to attractions to someone of the opposite sex, but not of the same sex, or any kind of gender confusion such as gender conflicts, gender identity is what they use. Anything that you seek to do is change is banned in those two jurisdictions. So we filed a federal lawsuit in that case, and I argued it before a three-judge panel. We don't know how the court will ultimately rule, but I can tell you what. The argument went very well. I presented the oral argument before the three-judge panel. Two of the three judges on the Federal Court of Appeals are individuals who were nominated by President Donald Trump. So we're waiting for a good decision. It's going to be, I think, a good victory we're praying for, because the way the argument went, I think I'm very pleased with it. A good victory on the First Amendment case.
Matt, this is in what many jurisdictions refer to as a ban on, and I put this in quotes, conversion therapy. But that terminology is really skewed, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a political term. There is no such thing as conversion therapy. If you talk to counselors in the counseling profession, they don't use that term. There's no such term as conversion therapy. There's no such term as reparative therapy. It's not a counseling term. So they use this idea of conversion therapy, and then they try to conjure up all kinds of horrible things that they say take place. But it's like saying, you know, you shouldn't counsel someone for depression because a century ago, people used to do lobotomies or they used to do bloodletting. Mm-hmm. Well, that may be true a century ago. That's not what counseling is today. And you know, somebody may have done something crazy, you know, decades or a century ago in this area, but that's not how counseling is today. Counseling is like this. Jim, this is the best way, and this is the illustration I gave the Court of Appeals. The client is like a driver of a car. The counselor is the GPS. When you sit in the car, it's the driver that makes the decision, what direction, what's the destination, and then punches that information into the GPS, which uses its technology to get you to the place you have selected as a driver. The GPS doesn't dictate to the driver where the driver is supposed to go. The driver dictates to the GPS. And that's the same way in counseling. Counselors don't force clients to reach a certain goal. They listen. They talk. What do you want? What is going on in your life? Let's talk about it. And when the client reveals what the issue is and that they want to resolve it, they have a conflict, a stressor that's causing a stress in their life against their value system. And many of those value systems are religiously based value systems, morally based value systems. They want to overcome that. They want to resolve this stress to be in line with their value system. So the counselor tries to help them reach that goal. Doesn't matter when the client wants to reach a certain goal. In these jurisdictions, the law says you can't. Let me go back to the GPS analysis. The driver gets in the car. The driver wants to go north, but when you can plug in any address, but you plug in that particular address, and it's going to put you diametrically at 180 degrees, the opposite, south. Either that, or it's just going to be silent. It just doesn't work at that address. It's just like it's malfunctioned. Everything else is fine. Mm-hmm. That address it will not use, or it just gives you a direction opposite. That's what these laws do. When a client comes into a counselor having a lot of stress, some of these people are so stressed out, they are on the verge of committing harm to themselves, and they're seeking professional help.
Yeah. Folks, we're going to get more into this issue here in our next segment as well. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel. We're talking over this battle regarding the counseling, the gender confused. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, some animals have been around for a long time, haven't they?
Indeed they have, Chris. Actually, from a biblical perspective, when God created the various kinds of animals in Genesis 1, he intended those kinds to survive and continue into the present. Some have gone extinct and some have adapted and changed somewhat, but the basic kinds are still the same. Evolutionists, on the other hand, are confused by what they call persistent fossils, where one organism in the fossil record dated at millions of years old is identical to the same organism alive today. This lack of change is not what evolution would predict. Examples of persistent fossils are numerous, including the horseshoe crab and the ant, etc., etc. Face it, Chris, evolution doesn't happen, but creation, now that did happen back in Genesis.
For more on creation, visit our website at icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Constitutional attorney Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counsel. Their website is lc.org, lc.org. Matt, we're talking about this battle that's raging all over this country regarding the counseling of the gender confused. And, you know, we were so often told that people are harmed by such counsel, especially minors. In reading a summary of this case from legal.com, they indicate at the core of this case is about whether defendants can prohibit the licensed therapist from administering sexual orientation change efforts therapy to minors when the available medical and subject matter literature concludes that the therapy is harmful to minors. And that's what we're told. This is harmful to minors. But what we understand, it's not the counsel to them is not what is harmful to them. It's the actual, you know, following through on gender reassignment and other things. That's what's truly harmful to them.
Yeah, that's harmful. You know, and here's the thing. Under these laws, someone can come in and you can counsel them to take gender-blocking drugs, puberty-blocking drugs, to literally stunt their growth, to stunt their development that actually results in sterilization and other physical and other consequences. Then you can counsel them to take high dosages of the other kind of drug, like a testosterone if you're a female or estrogen if you're a male, opposite of what your birth sex is. Then you can actually counsel them, you know, we need to amputate your healthy breast and your other genital organs and we'll do some plastic surgery. And you can counsel them and you can actually do all that to them. Mm-hmm. And they say that that's not harmful. Literally to amputate healthy body parts and to inject these hormones in someone that blocks their puberty development. And these other hormones, by the way, these cross-sex hormones, testosterone for women and estrogen for men, those have to be continually taken for life. Those are not just a short little pill. You have to continue to have that medication for life. The long-term consequences of it are significant. That's okay. You can do all that. But somebody comes in and they say, I've got these unwanted same-sex attractions, or, you know, a parent comes in with their daughter, and their daughter has confided to them recently and cried her eyes out because she says, you know, I'm getting confused. I think that I'm a boy. And they decide together, let's go find a professional counselor. So they find someone like Julie Hamilton and one of our clients, or Robert Otto, another one of our professional clients. They're gems of people, but they're very skilled as well in this area. They find them, but in Palm Beach County, or Boca Raton, when they share what the problem is, they have to do one of two things. One, they'll have to either be a blank stare. It's the GPS that doesn't work. Or two, they're not going to do this, but they won't be able to counsel them. So they have to do like the blank stare. If, you know, I can't counsel in this county or this city. I can't counsel you, even though they're experts in that area, and they long to help them. But they could find other people that say, you know what, the law requires me to change you in 180 degrees. I know you don't want to go there. You're wanting to overcome this, but let me help you just get used to it. No, I don't want to. I want to get over this feeling that I'm a boy. It's stressing me. No, we're going to ultimately make you comfortable. We're going to give you a male pronoun. We're going to recommend some puberty blockers so that your estrogen hormones will stop producing. And we're going to just help you change your religious and moral convictions and the other stresses so that you just accept it. Yeah. Well, you know what? 85 to 95% of young boys or girls that have this gender confusion, they resolve naturally without any intervention. In other words, they become comfortable and they accept their birth sex. Now, but you can counsel them even though the vast majority of them will ultimately resolve and be okay. You can counsel them to go ahead and do something completely different.
Yeah.
And that's okay under these laws. And that's the problem with it. And the other thing, Jim, just one other thing. There is no evidence, zero evidence, none. And I'm so sick of this in the media and these people putting this information out. There is zero evidence that there is harm to that kind of counsel for minors or frankly for anyone. There is no evidence out there. Even the American Psychological Association Task Force that they often cite to, the APA says there is no empirical evidence of harm for these children to get this kind of counsel to change. In fact, they said, we recommend that you get informed consent, let the parents and the child know, and leave it up to the expertise of the counselor. That's what the APA task force actually said.
But that's
absolutely unbelievable that they try to twist it the other way.
That's not what we're hearing, though. We keep hearing from the task force, from the APA, is saying that these change efforts have not shown to be effective, they're not shown to be safe, and so many city jurisdictions, or states, or whoever are quoting from, or saying that the APA says otherwise.
I know, and in our brief, we quote from the same APA report where it clearly, over and over and over again, repeats what I just said, that there's no evidence of harm. There may be some anecdotal where somebody said, well, I got worse. But there's also evidence that people get better. And they said that there's actually evidence of people changing, and there's no evidence of harm. We actually need more research in this area. And that what they recommend is leave it up to the expertise of the counselor and obviously do informed consent. And that's what counselors do anyway. They always do it. Informed consent, like any other counseling procedure or medical procedure, you get an informed consent. Except, of course, in many states, if it's abortion, they want to just give you an abortion without any informed consent. But that's what the actual APA report says. And I'm so tired of the media. Mm-hmm. You talk about fake news. This is the epitome of fake news. And they only get that spin from the LGBT activists, and no matter how many times we present them with the evidence, they will not print it. They'll just go with the LGBT media talking point spin, which is completely false.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Council. And folks, we witnessed this in our own city here in the city of Milwaukee, where a couple years back they had, and what the ordinance was with the ban, and I put this again in quotes, a ban on conversion therapy. And you know, as this even went through committee, Matt, just when you say those words, it's conversion therapy, it puts all kinds of pictures in legislators' minds and council members' minds. I even saw one council member say, well, you know, What is this? Are they doing shock therapy? You know, no, we're talking about counsel, but that's not what's purported, you know, through all of us.
The first case I argued out in California, the federal judge who went the wrong way on the case, obviously those cases got overturned in 2018 at the Supreme Court, thank God. But she asked, so what happens? I said, they talk. And she's like, well, they got to be doing something. I said, no, they just talk. Mm-hmm. They just talk. And she couldn't get out of her head that, well, maybe they're putting them in a straitjacket somewhere. No, they don't do that. They don't put electrodes to their head. No, they don't shock them.
Yeah.
You know, they don't put them in solitary.
Yep.
No, they don't do anything. What do? Well, have you ever been in a counseling room? They just close the door, and the counselor talks to the client. What's bothering you today? How can I help you? And they go through and they talk. That's what counseling is. They talk. And the evidence in our case shows, and the undisputed evidence is, 100% of the counseling of our clients, the counselors, is just simple talk. And they're wanting some person who, to get this, they're wanting to have someone who's at a high school education or high school equivalent be the determiner of someone who's skilled in this area. Did they cross the line? Did they have a goal of change? Well, you know what? The counselors already say in their testimony, it's not our goal. We don't set the goal. We're GPS. The GPS doesn't tell the driver. The driver tells the GPS. We try to help the client reach their goal. It's their goal, not our goal. And they have this idea, well, they're going to come in there and the counselor's going to beat them over the head. You talk to any counselor. If you get a client that doesn't want to go in a certain direction, you know what? You might as well have them go walk out the door. It's
right.
The client that has to have the desire for change, and that's why they come. They want to change something that's bothering.
Matt, there's another aspect to all of this as well, and we heard it on a local level. It's going like wildfire across this nation where these communities, municipalities, even states are bringing this up, and it deals with the topic of suicide, saying that young people are being driven to suicide because of, and it'll say, because of failed conversion therapy efforts or because of...
it's nonsense. There's no evidence of that. And it's just another one of their talking points, spin propaganda points. What actually happens is this, and this is Johns Hopkins University. This is the first university or first institution in the United States that started these, what they call sex reassignment surgeries. And that means, you know, you give them hormones of the opposite sex and then you amputate body parts and you do plastic surgery. They ended up canceling their program after several years, the first in the nation, frankly, to do all this. And then they also canceled it. Why'd they cancel it? Because they said people that came in and they said, I want to be a man or I want to be a woman, and they went through the hormones of the surgery, they had, after they did it, after they went through that, and after they took off healthy body parts, then they regretted what they did because they became comfortable in who they were born to be, a man or a woman. And now they look at their body, my goodness, I've just mutilated it. Suicide rates skyrocketed in those people by 40%.
Wow.
Now, nobody talks about that, but that's the reality out there. And if you go look at what's happening in Europe and even the United States, and really big in Europe right now, these people that are coming together in these support groups, lots and lots of people, I'm talking about thousands of people, because they're getting rushed through these surgeries, and now they regret it. Mm-hmm. And the problem is they've already done irreversible damage to their bodies. Yeah. That's where the increased suicide comes from. You know, in our case, for example, when someone, our client, we have one of our clients, the minor, who said, this kind of counseling saved my life. And had I not been able to get the kind of counseling to address the unwanted struggles that I was having and become content with how God made me, I may have committed suicide. So it's just the opposite. You deprive somebody of this kind of counseling, or even worse, they come in and the driver wants to go to a certain location, but the GPS puts you 180 degrees opposite location. How frustrated is that from a driver? Imagine that from an individual. Imagine that from a parent whose son or daughter is struggling, and now the counselor tries to crush their desire to reach their intended goal. That is what's going to cause the actual the stress on them that compounds the stress they already have.
I was looking at CNSnews.com this morning, an article, and they were reporting from the Wall Street Journal, February 3rd, a powerful commentary. Two biologists, Colin Wright, Emma Hilton, explained that scientifically there are only two sexes, male and female. There's no sex spectrum. And they stress, Matt, that biologists and medical professionals must stop being politically correct and stand up for the empirical reality of biological sex. They said science itself defies those pushing the so-called conversion therapy bans from taking place.
You know, you used to think that science was science and it just followed the hard facts. And the more you look into science, it's politically driven many times. And so you really have to find out, is this just a political ideology or not? You look at the whole social Darwinianism and the forced sterilization. That was all over the place. That's Hitler. That's Planned Parenthood. That even reached the United States Supreme Court in Buck versus Bell, and they condoned that kind of false science.
Matt argued last week before the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, so we're going to find out his thoughts on when this court's going to rule and what are the implications for this across that area, Florida, and the United States. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
We live in a depraved world with sin and corruption all around us. There are many temptations to lure us away from our walk with the Lord. How do we stay clean, pure, and righteous in such a time? In Psalm 119, we are reminded of the importance of hiding God's Word in our heart to protect us from succumbing to sin. But memorization is difficult for many. This is why Thomas Meyer, known as the Bible Memory Man, has not only devoted many books of the Bible to memory, but he has also put together the King James Memorization Study Bible, where he breaks up every verse in the New Testament by phrases to assist in the scripture memory process. A helpful appendix also provides a list of important scriptures to memorize, from sin to salvation, in 10 verses. The Memory Study Bible New Testament is available for a donation of $20 or more by calling VCY. 1-800-729-9829.
We're talking with Matt Staver today from Liberty Council, their website lc.org, regarding this battle over the Council of the Gender Confused. What we see come up by way of legislation and city ordinances and state laws on this, they call it conversion therapy. We've already addressed that issue. Matt, you argued last week before a three-judge panel of the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. When do you expect this court to make a ruling on this?
You know, they don't really have a particular timeline in which they need to make a ruling, but I suspect that we'll have one somewhere on the short end, maybe 2 months, on the long end, 6 months. So we'll have one this year, and this case could easily be the one that goes to the U.S. Supreme Court and strikes these ordinances down or these laws down. There's 18 states plus the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico and about 60 local jurisdictions that now have this. And we'll strike them down around the country. I have no doubt about that. It's just a matter of getting one of these back to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have another one. Actually, we're filing our brief tomorrow, by the close of business tomorrow. And it's a case that we won out of Tampa. It's also at the Court of Appeals. And we're filing our answer brief. The City of Tampa appealed it. We have another one out of Maryland, and I'll be arguing that later this year. And we'll be filing some other ones around the country as well. Our goal is to get one of these back to the U.S. Supreme Court. One of them will get there. One of our cases will. We're the only organization in the country that's been on the forefront challenging these laws. So we will get one of these to the Supreme Court and get relief for everyone across the country in one fell swoop.
So the case that you argued last week, the implications will go well beyond Boca Raton.
Yeah, because the one that we argued last week was really focused on the First Amendment alone. The one that we're filing the brief on tomorrow is one in which the court did not address the First Amendment because it ultimately reached a different issue before it did that. And that one just says that local jurisdictions don't have the authority to pass this. It's a statewide regulatory issue. And consequently, that will knock them out all over Florida, but that doesn't have the potential necessarily to get to the Supreme Court unless the Court of Appeals wants to address the First Amendment issue, and certainly we're open to that. But we obviously have one before that same Court of Appeals on the First Amendment, and that one is pending now. That's the one I just argued. So continue to pray for it. It's the Otto case. We represent Robert Otto and Julie Hamilton. These are both professional counselors in Palm Beach and Boca Raton, Florida. And we are suing Boca Raton and Palm Beach County. So pray for those our clients. And by the way, just before the oral argument, Julie sent me a note and communicated with me, and I spoke to her. She said she gave me like 10 instances, including a school, 9 individuals and a 10th one that she had to turn down that came to her seeking help because her practice is in one of those jurisdictions, and she has penalties if she does this kind of counseling. So it breaks their heart. I'm talking about every day something like that can happen, and these are real people that are not being able to get the kind of counsel, including their families, that they desperately desire and that can help them with their struggles to change.
And for giving such counsel for this talk therapy, so to speak, I mean, they are. And I've seen some of these, Matt. Some are subjected to jail time. Some are subjected to losing their license. Others are subjected to financial penalties of many hundreds of dollars every time.
Yeah. So exactly. And you know, here also, by the way, you know, you have somebody who's not in this area. But they may be a drug counselor, and somebody comes in and they find out that they are taking drugs to hide something else. What is it that they're hiding? And it comes out. Well, they've got these unwanted same-sex attractions, or they've been engaging in this unwanted behavior, or they're having some gender confusion. If that person even refers that individual to someone who is able to counsel them to change, that person is responsible and liable too. So, I mean, it's absolutely designed. These laws are designed to keep people trapped into an unwanted LGBT lifestyle. It's exceptionally harmful, and there's no evidence for these laws to exist other than politically motivated, trying to crush anybody who would be a living, walking example. It's kind of like, you know, the Pharisees were out there trying to kill Lazarus. Why? Because he was a living, walking example that Jesus, the Messiah, raised him from the dead. And so they didn't like him as that living example. And that's what they want to do. They want to have no examples of anybody who, through counseling and certainly through the power of Jesus Christ, has changed and they live successful lives, happy lives. Like some of the survivors at the Pulse nightclub, that brought them to the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And
yes.
They've changed because of their relationship with Jesus. These were people who were in the Pulse nightclub in Orlando on that horrible night when the person came in there and killed so many people and wounded many others. There's a couple of individuals now that go all over the country sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, how Jesus can change you, and he's changed them.
And praise God for the Apostle Paul who wrote to the Corinthians, such were some of you.
Exactly, such were some of you, meaning, and in that context, he's talking about people who are engaged in homosexuality,
right,
same-sex attraction, those kinds of things, activities. Such were some of you, but you were washed,
yes,
you were cleansed,
yep,
and they were changed by the power of Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen. Friends, we're opening our phone lines. Our number today is 800-733-9829. If you have a question you'd like to ask of Matt Staver here today, or a brief comment, 800-733-9829. Matt, isn't this both a freedom of speech issue as well as free exercise of religion issue?
Yeah, it's really both because, in this case, if you're a licensed counselor that's on the church staff, a pastor, for example, it's going to affect you too, and you couldn't give any counsel. Plus, some of these counseling organizations are set up as religious organizations, and they try to help people. Even if you're not charging them, you're going to be under these rules. So, yeah, it clearly violates both the counselor, but also the client's, not only free speech, but also religious freedom. Because these laws tell the counselor and the client specifically what can be said and what can be heard, and certain things are off limits. And by the way, when you touch on that, you've got to be convinced the opposite of what you want.
Yeah,
so it's the most outrageous kind of law that you could imagine. It's government forcing a very radical opinion, words, and practice on counselors and on individual clients.
Yeah, folks, when you think about it, a counselor can encourage their client to take life-altering hormone drugs. They can encourage them to undergo invasive surgery, removing healthy body parts. But don't you dare help a client who wants to overcome unwanted same-sex attraction. Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counselor, our number 800-733-9829. Let's begin in Warsaw, Indiana. Dennis, you're on the air.
Thank you. My question has to do with a client specifically. I know that the counselors are the ones who receive the penalty, prison or whatever, but aren't they essentially attacking the client and not the counselor because they're forcing the client to, as you have alluded to numerous times, they're forcing the client to stay where they don't want to be. So what is a client to do if someone really wants to get out? It's their decision. What do they do?
That's a great question. Ultimately, it's an attack on the client, but instead of punishing the client by a fine or some other penalty, they don't have a license, so they can't revoke the client's license. They go after the counselor. But who is the ultimate person who's penalized? Yes, it is the counselor, no question, because they can't counsel according to their expertise and their desire. Yes, it is their freedom of religion. But the person who really is hit the hardest is the client.
Mm-hmm.
It's the client. In every area of counseling, and this is true across all counseling, there's something known as the right of self-determination. The client comes in, and they have the right of self-determination. They can choose the counselor of their choice, and they can choose the direction. Just like, for example, you go out and seek a counselor, you want to find someone who's a marital counselor, somebody who is experienced in drug addiction or something else like that, or a medical doctor. You want to get somebody who's a neurologist or orthopedic surgeon, whatever it might be. You have a right to be able to select that particular doctor and the kind of doctor. And then you have a right to be able to get all the information necessary and make a decision. And that person then helps you reach that ultimate objective using their expertise. But in this one area, and only this area, not, you can think of anything else that you can talk about. Nothing's off limits, except for this one area. And the only area that's off limits is changing. If you want to affirm them in something that they don't want to be affirmed in, you can do that. If you want to direct them to go do the hormones, yes, you can do that. But if you want them, if they want to overcome, the client does, those unwanted feelings, you cannot do that.
Yeah. So, Dennis, as you point out,
what does the client
you're right.
Do?
I mean,
they're
stuck. That suffers.
They can't
we're
do
talking about real lives of real people who are in the crosshairs. So what do? If they're in Palm Beach County or Boca Raton or a city, they'd have to go outside maybe to find somebody, you know, hundreds of miles away. If they're in one of the 18 states, there's no place they can go in that state. So some of those are statewide bans.
That's why this needs to be overturned, Dennis, and that's why Matt Staver's doing what he's doing. Thanks for the call. We're going to go to Gary in Ironwood, Michigan. Go ahead, Gary. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Hi, Jim. I've got a theory for you. With all the sex change operations and bizarre things that's coming out of it, you think this is a form of population control coming in the back door? I mean, these people aren't going to be able to do anything.
It's an interesting question, because what ultimately happens is you become sterilized in the area of somebody who wants to be identified of something different than what their birth sex is. Because especially if they're young, if you're already older, you're not taking the puberty blocking medication. What you have to do is take high dosages of the medication testosterone or estrogen, opposite of what your birth sex is, and those have to be continued for life. If you're and those have consequences. But then when you get to the surgery, you yourself are permanently sterilized. And of course, even before you get to the surgery with the puberty blocking with the young children or the young minors, that will sterilize you as well. So it is a form of population control. It is the social Darwinian type of thing that just sterilizes individuals, prohibiting them from ever making a decision to be able to have children.
Gary, thank you for the call here. We're going to move to David next in Deerfield. You're on the air, David.
Yes, I'm calling to ask if conversion therapy literature exists. Is it legal, and is it legal to distribute?
Well, first of all, again, they don't call it that in real practice. That's a political term that you see popping up in these laws. But yeah, there is a literature out there that does exist on it. There's a lot of literature on it. There's a lot of research on it from the perspective of what I'm talking about. Sure, there's information out there. Yes, you can distribute that. But if you're in one of these places where you're restricted, the counselor can't just distribute that to the client, because that would be helping the client to do what? Change. And that would be prohibited by these local or statewide laws.
Thank you, David.
Okay. Thank you.
And we're just seconds from the break, so we're going to take the break and come back to more phone calls. I see couple open lines here, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Council. Folks, they're in a battle on this issue, and this is one of three cases right now that they're involved in, and taking your questions today. Also, it's a group that's in need of support as they fight these costly battles. Check it out, lc.org. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. We continue our series now on the dangers of discourse or dialogue with the cultural Marxist. As we've been saying, there's nothing wrong with having a debate, but when you have a discourse or dialogue, you're trying to merge your worldview with theirs and find common ground. You can't do that. And when you do that, involved in discourse or dialogue with them, you fall into trap and danger number 8 in our list. You have allowed your cultural Marxist enemy to define the language. You're giving validity to their language, like woke, white privilege, social justice. You're allowing them to control the narrative. You're setting up the conflict. You're walking into a trap, And you're setting yourself up to be marginalized and your values marginalized. And ultimately what you're doing is you're giving legitimacy to their values. You're saying, I'll talk with you and try to find common ground because there is some value to what you believe. And guess what? You have surrendered to the psychological process and submitted yourself to all eight dangers. For the Worldview Week in a Minute, I'm Brandon House.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counsel. He's a constitutional attorney. Just argued before the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals last week this battle over counseling the gender confused. And right now in Boca Raton and other places are saying, no, you cannot give counsel. You can only give counsel that will affirm their gender delusion, not that which counters that. And just before we pick up our next call, Matt, I know there are people who have come out of this. Their stories are out there. I think of David Arthur. I think of Walt Heyer. There are many that are coming out and just addressing this issue.
Yeah, and if you do a search for Walt, W-A-L-T, Heyer, H-E-Y-E-R, to the caller who just called, he has a lot of resources. And one of the books that he released recently is called Trans Life Survivors by Walt Heyer, H-E-Y-E-R. Highly recommend this because these are stories of real people that he has counseled. He himself, amazingly, went through this whole surgery and went through a divorce and went through a surgery and eventually gave his life to the Lord and went through counseling and tried to undo some of the damage that he'd already done to his body. He's been married now for a number of years, but he's somebody who's walked that whole path, and he knows the destructive nature of it, and he knows what really needs to be addressed. So his name is Walt Heyer, and he's just one of many, Jim, that have gone through the same process. But Walt has a lot of resources. He has a website. Highly recommend his material.
Yeah, WaltHeyer.com is his website.
Yeah, WaltHeyer.com.
And his story is right there. Melanie has been holding from Tennessee. Melanie, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering, what's more loving here, to tell the truth in love or to just acquiesce to a child's imaginative thoughts? And we're all born with a conscience and a relatively good one, but once it gets soiled and then it gets seared when we continue in our...
Well, you know, someone, and you're having more of these kinds of bizarre things happening where somebody comes in and they say that, I think I'm a dog. I want to marry... I'm not doing hypotheticals. I'm talking about real situations are happening now. So what do? You just affirm that? Say, well, let's just change your name and let's just wear a dog collar. No, you deal with other issues that they're dealing with. And yet in this area, they want to have people in the counseling room and all those around them affirm something that is not reality, something that you have to pretend according to the person's reality that's really not real. You, as you said earlier, Jim, the science is clear. There's only two genders, pretty simple, male and female. And you can't change that. You're not assigned a sex at birth. It's almost like they put a stamp on you. Oh,
right.
We used the wrong stamp on this one. No, God assigned that to you when you were fertilized in your mother's womb. You were male or female at that point in time, and that came from God. That didn't come from somebody's mistake after you were born, and they put a wrong M or F on your birth certificate.
Right. So, Melanie, you do not want to be affirming of a delusion.
Exactly.
No,
exactly.
No.
Because if you affirm a delusion,
and not talking it out, talking it through,
well, if you affirm a delusion, you're making it worse.
Mm-hmm.
You just make it worse, and it doesn't address the underlying issue. And that's the story that comes out of Walt Heyer and some of these other things. People just want to affirm a delusion rather than address the underlying cause of the problem.
Thank you, Melanie. Jose is calling from Milwaukee. Jose, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is, from my understanding, this supposed conversion therapy ban is for children as low as the age of 16. The question is, do you think that this is like their attempt to remove parental rights?
Oh, yeah. It's not just 16.
Could it 16, also be part of the United Nations right of the child as well?
Your 18th birthday, yeah. And what it does is it definitely overrides the parents' rights because in every other area, you know, the parent has the right to be able to select the treatment for their child, but in this area. And so it literally overrides the parent's rights. And what we're seeing now in schools is that schools are keeping this information from the parents. So a child goes to school and they want to have a different pronoun. They say, okay, but we're not going to let your parents know. So they literally intentionally, and we've had cases just like that, where they said, don't let the parents know. This is just something between the school and you. Your parents don't need to know. Well, no, your parents do need to know. They need to know why you're coming home depressed. They need to know why you're having these desires to harm yourself. Is it because what the school is? They need to know. And it really tries to undermine the parents' rights.
And it's going on. And, folks, there's a case that just developed here in Madison, Wisconsin, where an organization is now suing the Madison School District for their gender identity policies that are going on. Madison schools having policies violating parental rights and making decisions that should be that for parents. And these issues are happening all over the country. We're going to squeeze one last call in. Nancy in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
I have two quick comments. One is, and maybe somebody can prove this, but I've lived in Pensacola for 30 years, and we have lived through Opal and Aaron hurricanes, and that cross has stayed standing on the beach, even though the beach has been totally wiped
out. So, yeah, decimated, and the cross still stands there.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's just so awesome to know that it stands, and how could it even be taken down?
The amazing thing is it survived the hurricanes when some of the houses didn't, and then it almost didn't survive the courts, but fortunately it got a last reprieve from the Supreme Court decision, and it's going to stay now.
Awesome to know. Thank you for your work on that. And my second comment was I was visiting Philadelphia once, and there was a convention going on for people that wanted to change their sexual gender. Mm-hmm. And I had probably 30 minutes with a young woman to talk to her, to try to tell her about God has made her by design. She came from a family of five, and it made me wonder, were they these conventions, like they feed them into this, that there's no, it was almost like she was so excited about this convention because all of these people are coming together for the same kind of...
Nancy, I'm going to stop you right there because we're 30 seconds back. We're going to have you respond to that issue.
Well, that is the problem, Nancy, and that is really dangerous to give them one distorted view of reality because it doesn't help the underlying problem. The problem will come back. It'll come back in a worse situation. That's why it's important to speak the truth. It's important for us to get these laws struck down as unconstitutional.
Nancy, thank you for the call. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel. And, Matt, I know you're writing on this and so many issues right on your website, correct?
Yes, lc.org. Lc.org is the website. lc.org.
And folks, if you need to contact Liberty Counsel through their website or by phone, it's 407-875-1776. Matt, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Folks, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.